Early in their marriage, Pastor Craig Groeschel recalls feeling that his wife wasn't making pancakes just the right way.
I tried to tell her that's not the way you make them, and she didn't like my advice. And so I'm not going to say it got violent in the kitchen, but she did pull the spatula back and put a shoulder into me to move me out of the way. And here's this pastor and his wife in the kitchen about to throw down over pancakes. And so it's, literally to this day, she makes her pancakes and I make mine, and that's how we decided to get along.
Well, maybe there are those items in your marriage that you leave each other alone. You just kind of make space to make pancakes the way you want to.
Hey, Jean was smart. She just said, you make them.
That's your thing?
That's my thing.
She doesn't criticize.
She doesn't. She's grateful that I do it.
Well, this is Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and that's a real-life scenario from Pastor Craig Groeschel. You'll hear more from him today.
John, we all get married with those stars in our eyes, and I think you heard a bit of that there, but it can quickly turn into daggers over some silly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate Craig's honesty, and we need more of that because it's helpful that we're not so odd that we too fight over pancakes, and that can be normal. Craig shared with us the importance of placing God at the center of your life and your marriage. The importance of fighting fair and also having fun, which I like to end with that one.
Mm-hmm.
He left off last time sharing with us why he and his wife, Amy, have 2 date nights a week. I'm struggling with one.
It's a pretty unattainable goal, but bless them for doing that.
Absolutely. Focus on the Family is here to come alongside you and give you hope for your marriage, whether you're a newly married, fighting over the proper way to make pancakes or whatever it might be, or if you've been married for decades and your marriage just seems to be running on fumes, and maybe even you're thinking about divorce. We want you to know that God has a plan and a purpose for your marriage, and you can make it through. It's so important that that's the message that you catch.
Now, Craig and his wife, Amy, have 6 children. They live in Oklahoma, and he's the founding and senior pastor for Life Church TV. He's written a number of books, and the latest that he co-wrote with Amy is From This Day Forward, 5 Commitments to Fail-Proof Your Marriage. Let's go ahead and hear the second part of that conversation as recorded in Denver, Colorado, on today's Focus on the Family.
Craig, it's great to have you back at Focus on the Family.
Thanks, Jim. I always love being with you.
I just love the way you think about things and what God has taken you through. These are things that you've learned. You're not talking just simply as an expert who has many, many people in his church that you counsel and hear their stories, but you also apply it in your own life. Let's go right to it, because in your book, there's a funny thing about flossing that really caught my attention. How did flossing teach you to be a better husband?
Well, I read a book that was really helpful to me called The Power of Habit, and it talks about keystone habits, certain habits that roll positive momentum into other positive habits. And for me, I always hated to floss. In fact, that was the first habit that I would stop doing. And I found that whenever I would floss, I'd think to myself, okay, I'm really disciplined, so I'm flossing, so I'll do my Bible plan, and I'll eat right, and I'll exercise, I'll sleep good, I'll wake up early. And that one discipline actually created other positive disciplines. When I wouldn't floss, I'd feel like, okay, well, I'm not a very disciplined person, so I'm gonna skip my Bible reading today, and I might as well skip my workout today, I'm not gonna eat good, and so wouldn't sleep good. I'd wake up late. I'd go to the office. Someone would be rude and I'd yell at them. I'd come home. And so it's kind of a joke, but the reality is that was a very positive discipline that created other positive disciplines. What I wanted to do is ask in marriage, if there was one keystone habit, what would that one thing be that I believe across the board could impact marriages positively? And for me, and we taught this to our church and saw massively positive response, is that if there's one thing I believe that could create great forward momentum in marriages, is the keystone habit of praying together. Simply agreeing to pray every single day together. And one reason this is really big is because Amy and I didn't pray every day together for a long time. I just kind of assumed I'm a pastor and she's a pastor's wife and we love Jesus, and so we didn't need that.
Kind of been there, done that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm praying, she's praying, but we weren't praying together.
Right.
And one of the reasons, honestly, was she likes to pray for a long time, and I'm kind of like, pray and get it done type of person. And So selfishly, we just didn't do it. I didn't do it, didn't really want to. And what I found was that this one thing is a game changer all the time, because we connect daily with God together. We're praying, we know what we're praying for together, and so we're on the same page spiritually. We can't fight when we're going to pray, because you got to work through things if you're going to pray together. I'm not as vulnerable to some temptations as I would be, because I've got spiritual intimacy, not just between me and God, but between my wife, me, and God. And so we started this with our staff, because I talked earlier to you about how we had marriages struggling in our staff, and we saw great results. And so we just really rolled out a challenge to the church. Would you commit to pray daily together if you're married? And I'm going to tell you right now, that one keystone discipline has revolutionized so many marriages. It's a really, really big deal, and it's something that can be done in 2 minutes.
Well, and you know, we talk a lot about research, and I know when you preach, I'm sure you're pulling on research and social science to make the point. I know Brad Wilcox does great work out of the University of Virginia. It's interesting when those researchers are trying to describe the people who claim to be Christian. So what are the behavior patterns? And they usually break down to going to church once every 4 Sundays or twice a month or something like that. But to me, it's interesting, the one thing that you're saying in praying together and then reading scripture together, which you mentioned last time, those two activities, if a couple does that, the divorce rate in that group is less than 1%. Isn't that fascinating?
Well, and think about that. I mean, if you could do anything that would make the divorce rate 1%.
Silver bullet.
Wouldn't we do that?
Yeah. You know? Let me ask you this, though. If I were to give you a multiple choice question, and I said, what defines the deepest human connection, the deepest human intimacy? And I said A, sexuality, B, emotions. Now, I think I just covered men and women. And C, spiritual connection. What do you think it is?
Hands down, C.
It's spiritual connection.
Right.
Tell me why. Because I think the culture today, we think, and particularly men, if we can get satisfied in a physical context, that's our deepest intimate need.
Women, emotional. Yes. And here's the thing. When it starts with spiritual, then it naturally overflows to emotional and physical. It's natural. And that's one reason, as crazy as it sounds, I tell all married couples to pray together. I tell people when they're dating, be careful not to pray together too much, because it creates a longing for the other, for the physical expression. And so, I mean,
you're becoming one.
You're becoming one. And I mean, it goes all the way back to the beginning, that, you know, we were created male and female in the image of God. And, you know, we were there to commune with God. We weren't created for our own pleasure. We were created for God, to know Him, to serve Him. I tell a guy, you want to improve your love life with your wife? Man, improve your spiritual life. And I tell anyone, you want to improve your emotional intimacy, improve your spiritual intimacy. And there's natural overflow into these areas.
But what's so sad, Craig, is that we've got it backward. We think it's A and B, the first two, physical or emotional.
Right.
And we so often, even in the church, skip that spiritual. And that's what you're saying.
Right.
Praying together, reading together. You do those things, A and B comes along for both the women and men.
Right.
Let me ask you about this. There's stages or phases in marriage. And we all, especially those of us that have been married longer and our kids are getting along in age. Talk about that young couple with young kids. Maybe they have 2 or 3 children. They're 33. And they're losing it because the kids are pulling on mom. It's all about the kids and the demands of being mom. Dad's coming home. Maybe they're both working in this culture today. And it just seems overwhelming.
It does.
To both of them.
It does. That was the toughest time in our marriage, quite honestly. We had, you know, 6 kids, 10 and under. And, you know, we were in diapers for so long, I never wanted to see a diaper again.
You were
long
the
as
kids.
Live, you know? good point. And it felt like us sometimes. And so, you know, that's a really, really tough season and can be difficult. And here's the challenge is we're sucked into, you know, kind of child-centered parenting where everything is about the children. And that's the time when we have to probably work the hardest to really guard the priority of the marriage relationship. And we think that we're doing the right thing by revolving our whole world around the kids. But the reality is when we don't guard the priority of the marriage relationship, then we're actually hurting the kids in the long term. And so, you know, I really try to work with people then and say, let's do whatever it takes to, you know, have a night alone. And you, a lot of times you don't have any money when you're that age, you know, you got, and so, you know, trade out babysitters, or literally, you know, go hire a, you know, 14-year-old kid down the street to watch your kids and go in the other room by yourself and have 2 hours literally in the other room if you can't afford to go out. And just, you know, you have to make the work hard to make the marriage a priority, or the kids will absorb everything. And then you weaken the fabric of the marriage that is the strength that you need to keep everything going.
Mm. You talk about different aspects of intimacy, that face-to-face fun, the side-by-side fun, and belly-to-belly fun,
right?
Which, if you have small children in the room right now, move them. but that's what you're talking about. It's a different way of couching intimacy,
right?
Emotional, physical.
Yeah.
Tell me more about what you mean by that.
This is an easy way for people to remember. It's kind of fun. You know, that we're going to have fun together as a married couple, and we want to have face-to-face, side-to-side, and belly-button to belly-button. And all the men said amen, right? So, but face-to-face is so important, generally more so for the women, but I find, man, in my 40s, like, it matters a lot to me. I want face-to-face. I want to know what's going on. And Amy needs to know details. And if we don't connect, we're talking with no interruptions, where we're actually talking, hearing what's going on in each other's life, that's, we're missing out on one of the most intimate things we can do as a couple. Then what a lot of people don't understand is how important side-to-side fun is. Generally speaking, face-to-face means more to the woman. Generally speaking, and not always, but side-to-side fun means a lot to a man. We want to be doing activities together. And so Amy always tells other women, she's like, man, if your husband wants to go golfing and you hate golfing, do it every now and then, because it means so much to him. If he likes going to a game, one of the great things you can do is go sit by his side, and he feels like the king of the world. And men often talk better when someone's at their side than they do face-to-face. We're a little nervous or whatever, but when we're having fun together, then we talk at a level that often means more to our wives. And then the third type is just belly button to belly button, and that's, you know, physical intimacy. And I don't want to speak as the authority here, but I will say my wife Amy loves to tell women that this is an important ministry of, you know, giving yourself oftentimes, maybe when you don't feel like it, is one of the greatest ways to show love. And it creates a snowball effect of emotion. If we give emotional affection, then there's often a physical response. If there's a physical affection, there's often an emotional response. And whenever spiritual is leading all of it, then, man, it can be beautiful what you can have in a marriage. And that's, above anything else, that's really what I hope people hear is, you may be in a place right now where you feel like you've got no hope, that, you know, this sounds like a fairy tale. And the reality is, with the presence of God in your marriage, there is hope. There's always hope. And you can have something very special when both of you are seeking Jesus together.
Hey, Craig, in your book, From This Day Forward, I think you included a story in there about flipping through stations, what a lot of guys do.
Right.
It's the know-nothing space. I mean, we're just recharging news, weather, and sports,
Right.
Watching five things at one time.
Right.
But if I remember that story right, you're clicking through and you lingered on a commercial. Amy was getting ready and she kind of heard that you were listening to something.
Yeah.
Tell us what that was and what that meant to you.
Well, I was doing what guys do. It's not about what's on television. It's all about what else might be on television.
Right.
So I was all into, you know, and I was on my bed and she was in the bathroom and I clicked like golf channel, went through a cooking channel, you know, preaching channel, whatever. And I came across something that had girls in bikinis that were dancing.
Like a workout
on
channel or
something. Yeah, something like that. That is, maybe even, but girls on the beach in bikinis. And I hesitated longer than I should. My rhythm was broken. You know, it was click, 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 bikinis, pause. And, you know, I might have been there for, I don't know how, you know, just a few seconds. And then I realized I'd need to turn the channel, and I did. And I kept watching, and Amy came back in a few minutes later, and she got in bed next to me. It was the end of the day, and you know, real soberly, not with any anger in her heart, she just said, "Was it worth it?" And I mean, I started sweating, and I was like,
"So you knew exactly what
she meant."
I was
hoping there might be some chance it wasn't what it was, but it was what it was. And so she said, "Was it worth it?" You know, pausing on that channel, and I just, you know, was embarrassed, broken, humiliated, and you know, told her, of course, it wasn't worth it, and apologized. And it was a really big moment for me, because it wasn't just a I was caught moment, but it was the way she phrased the question really grabbed me, which is, was it worth it? And that wasn't the only time that I, you know, looked in a place I shouldn't have looked before. And it just kind of came into real focus for me that it's, no, it's not ever, 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 ever worth it.
Craig, one of the common things people will write to us or email us or ask us when we're traveling, you know, my husband, he just doesn't seem to take the lead. He's mm-hmm. not the spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. And I so desperately, as his wife and mm-hmm. with my kids, I mean, the kids aren't getting really that kind of leadership from mm-hmm. him at all. It seems like I'm the one always having to step into the gap.
Yeah.
What do you say to a woman particularly who comes to you in that regard and says, I need help. What can I do to motivate him to do a better job?
You know, that's such a common issue, and you know, it happens all the time, all the time. And one of the things is, you know, any time that he does anything that's remotely spiritual, really reward him, because guys, we're stupid. Like if we do something, you go, great job. We're like, oh, we want to do it again. And so if it's something, if he prays over a Thanksgiving meal and he's never prayed before, and it's really not even a great prayer, don't ever criticize the prayer.
Because he won't do it again.
He won't do it again. Tell him, I was so proud of you when you prayed. It made me feel so close to you. And so reward him when he does anything remotely spiritual. And that gives him confidence, because the reality is a lot of times we as men feel like our wives are more spiritual. We're sometimes intimidated by them. And so we don't feel like we're good enough and capable of doing it. And then at the same time, pray for him. Just pray. Pray and ask God to do a work. And watch, there are times when a man will do things that you don't see as spiritual, but he actually sees as deeply spiritual. He might not let your kids go out with certain friends. And you're like, that's just practical. No, actually, that may be spiritual, because he's protecting your family. Mm-hmm. And so look for ways that, for Amy, she didn't recognize there was, like, being out of debt. For me, that's spiritual. That's a spiritual thing. It's being a good steward. And when she recognized that, suddenly she said, oh, he is being spiritual in a way that, you know, we're not doing a Beth Moore Bible study, which she would love, but he is being spiritual in a way that I can learn to respect and honor. Mm-hmm. And so watch for those ways, celebrate those ways. And the more he feels like he's winning and doing well, the more he's going to want to bring spiritual momentum. And if, you know, if you're married to someone who's not spiritual at all, and isn't even interested, then prayer is your best bet.
Talk to me about that couple that's really been at each other for maybe years now. And what's happened is their hearts have grown cold toward each other.
Yeah.
Because that wife, or maybe it's the shoe on the other foot. I don't mm-hmm. want to, you know, just look at it from the one perspective. But let's just say that wife has been frustrated for 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. He's never stepped up to meet her expectations in that regard. And she has done some things or said some things that have caused him to withdraw mm-hmm. even more so emotionally from the relationship. What can she do tonight to start over, to say, honey, grab him by the cheeks? What does she say at that point?
Yeah, I think if she recognizes she's maybe driven him away, to acknowledge it and to apologize is a really, really big deal. And then if she can also in any way recognize that he's done something good, it may be non-spiritual, but maybe he's a good provider, maybe he's a hard worker, maybe he's a good dad, find anything else to celebrate, that's a great thing, because we as men need to feel like we're winning and we have momentum. If our wives believe in us, we can do anything.
Well, and to be fair, let me put the shoe on the other foot. Let's say the wife has given up. What can the man go home tonight? He hears this, feels a conviction about it. I haven't been there. What can he say to her to kind of rekindle that?
Yeah, man, I would say to every guy like there, say, you know, I'm sorry that I haven't been the spiritual leader. I've let you down. And, you know, I don't know a Christian woman out there who won't give that guy a second chance who acknowledges that. And then, you know, he might even say, he could explain why he's insecure, what he's not. And, you know, the spiritual leader doesn't have to teach a 7-point Bible study. It doesn't have to be that. It can be just having spiritual conversations. And for me, like, I would say things to Amy like, I've decided to do this. And she's like, well, didn't you pray about it? And I'm like, well, of course I prayed about it, but I didn't say it. And so learning just to even put things in a spiritual language occasionally to her helps her. Mm-hmm. And just say, I've been praying about this, and this is what I feel like God wants us to do. That even creates spiritual intimacy, because I'm not going to assume that she knows what I've been doing. I'm going to help her to see what I've been doing. And so, anyway, if that guy, you know, apologizes, takes ownership, and says, I want to do better. Help me to do better. And even the simplest thing, if you do nothing else, say, we're going to church every week. Yeah. Start there. We're a church-going family that, you know, we go to church together. And if you just start there, then we're all going to be getting spiritual input. We're all going to be using our gifts in the church. And that's a great place to start as a man. We go to church as a family.
Right. That is. I'm smiling here because I'm thinking of Gene and I. Temperament, I think, plays into this somewhat because, you know, for Gene, when we're having face-to-face time, as you call it, she'll start to tell me a story, and I'm quickly going, bottom line.
Right.
Give me the bottom line.
Headlines, not details.
Yeah. Right. And Gene is finally, you know, but I'm thinking, okay, am I selfish because I'm not letting her express it in a way that she needs to express it? Because
right.
I even said, this is embarrassing. I mean, just like 2 days ago, we were having a conversation, and she was going deep, and I didn't know what she was going deep with. I was going, can you give me the headline?
Right.
Because I don't even know really what we're talking
right.
about.
Right.
And she laughed, and she said, I'm sorry, I just always go there, don't I?
Right.
But, I mean, do you have to know each other well enough to say, okay, time out, not get upset. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, I forgot the headline for you. Let me go back and give you the headline.
Absolutely. And I think that's just this good tools where you're working together. And you know, Amy, you know, might say, hey, show some feelings. And I might say, right. you know, summarize this for me. And when you're intimate together and close, you can get away with that.
It's playful.
It's playful. And when you're not, it's a jab. And you don't want it to be a jab. You want it to be a tool to help us get closer together. You don't want it to be a sword, but you want it to be a tool that's helpful.
Yeah. And Craig, I've used this analogy before, and I don't know where I picked it up somewhere, but somebody once said that a wife's heart is like that rose bud. Mm-hmm. And when you, the husband, dry it up, when you're jabbing mm-hmm. the way we just talked about, mm-hmm. you're not playful. It's a verbal attack. Mm-hmm. It's a jab. It's mm-hmm. emotional. And men can be pretty good at verbal attack. Mm-hmm. And that little rose dries mm-hmm. up, and it could be years, mm-hmm. and it becomes brittle. I feel like so many marriages, whether that's been 2 years or 20 years or 50 years, can be in that place. Mm-hmm. How do they begin to water each other's roses in their hearts once again?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, that's the title of the book was From This Day Forward, and that's really the point that I hope brings hope, that no matter what's happened in the past, because, you know, we could have been jerks to each other, inappropriate, harsh, abusive emotionally or otherwise. And so we have to really draw a line in the sand and say, from this day forward, it might be that couple probably needs help from the outside. If they've been, you know, 2 years or 20 years on their own trying to work through it, they probably don't have the tools to get through it. In fact, that's why I love Focus on the Family offers so many incredible resources. And so if you find yourself in a long-term relationship that's not going where, you have to recognize what we're doing is not working. Mm-hmm. We might need outside help to give us some tools to help us to learn to, from this day forward, begin healing and developing intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Craig Gershell, author of the book with his wife, Amy, From This Day Forward. These have been tremendous insights, and I can see that you've gone through these things. You're not just preaching principles, but these are things that you've learned in the School of Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. And I so appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm honored to be with you. And I appreciate your investment in my family over the years. We've benefited so much from your work in ministry.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Well, even if it's a very difficult spot, there is hope for your marriage. And I trust that as you've listened along today to Pastor Craig Groeschel on Focus on the Family, you've appreciated his insights and the energy and the humor and the heart he has for marriage. And you'll find more of that same passion in his book, From This Day Forward, which really will give you the tools to develop a deeper, more meaningful relationship. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller.
Every couple experiences struggles and conflict in their marriage. But learning to fight fair, having fun, and staying pure can only come from seeking God together as a couple. And in fact, praying together was what Pastor Craig mentioned right at the outset as the very best thing that couples can do in their marriages. From This Day Forward is co-authored by Craig and his wife Amy, and in it they share personal experiences and walk you through five powerful commitments you can make to fail-proof your marriage. Seek God, fight fair, have fun, stay pure, and never give up. If you earnestly choose to do all five of these things, you'll discover a richer, deeper, more authentic marriage. You'll find From This Day Forward at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300 to order. I hope you'll challenge yourself to take your marriage seriously in this new year and find that you and your spouse are better together. Thanks for listening to today's Focus on the Family. I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll, as always, help you and your family thrive in Christ.